Today, as we come to the table,
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. Actually, I think he says of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you keep quoting that until it goes away. I choose not to be afraid. It is written, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if that doesn't work, it is written, perfect love casts out all fear. And I know, God, that you love me with a perfect love. So it is written, perfect love casts out all fear. And you stay in that prayer mode, fighting with the word of God and believing the word of God until you get relief. Because God will send it. I've been there. He sends it.
Do you remember in Scripture when Jesus was tempted by the enemy? He was in the wilderness, away from all that was familiar, tired and hungry, and Satan shows up. Satan does his best to pull Jesus away from the mission of saving the world, but Jesus responds in the way that you can too. He quotes Scripture. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will share a similar dire situation the Israelites find themselves in. They're in the wilderness too, away from the familiarity of Egypt, and the enemy is showing up. But God was with them, and he would save them again. God's with you too. Hold fast to the truth found in the Bible, and believe that he will rescue you again. Now, join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 14 as he continues his message, Satan's Last Stand.
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, I love this, went out with boldness. Again, a picture of the new believer. They give their life to the Lord. God calls them out of the world, and they excitedly come out of the world with boldness. You see people like that. They come out. They're all fired up. They're bold. Listen, God's with me. I'm going for it. I'm done. And that's the place these guys are. They're loving it. God has delivered them. They are heading out on their own, but now we see the tide begin to change here as, again, the enemy's going to begin to pursue. Although they're going out with boldness, he's not just going to roll over and give up. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots and Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihor Heroth between Baal Zephon. Again, that region there that was by the ocean. It says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, this verse, again, is loaded here. It's official. They're cornered. They're trapped, and they see them coming. You know, when you're in the desert and you're in the wilderness, I wouldn't have understood this as good had I not been out west for a few years. Because here in Tennessee, I mean, you can't see very far at all. You know, you think you can see a little distance, and maybe if you're up on a mountain, you can see a distance. I know that happens. But even up on the mountains, we're limited oftentimes because there's so many trees and so many mountains in our area. There's only so far you can see. Man, when I moved out to New Mexico, I mean, there was one mountain from Santa Fe you could see, they said was 256 miles away. You're looking at that mountain going, that's 256 miles away. And you're looking at it. That's just amazing to think. Now you think, wow, when there's nothing blocking the view, you can see that far. And of course, the sunsets out there are amazing because of how much land you can see and the distance and all. They're in the wilderness. Yes, there are some mountains, Mount Sinai, and there are mountains on both sides of them right now. But behind them, there was just a valley. They'd come down this valley to the ocean. And who knows how long they've seen the army of Egypt coming after them. They're camped there. All of a sudden, they look up and they see in the distance, who knows how far away it was, how many miles away, they see the army of the Egyptians coming, and they realize, we can't go that way, there's mountains, we can't go that way, there's mountains, we can't go that way, there's an ocean, we can't go back where we came from, down in this valley, because we're trapped, they're coming after us. And so they begin to panic. We're dead, what are we going to do? But I love this, because although they panic and they're afraid, which again, I think we as new believers and even older believers, sometimes we get afraid, don't we? They cry out to God. Because here's the answer. When you're afraid, what do? You cry out to God. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I know you've done the same thing. I'm not any different than you guys. We cry out to the Lord. Why? Because when we cry out to the Lord, God will answer us and God will hear us and God will intervene for us and rescue us. He's our God. He's our protector. He's the one who watches over us. So they cry out to the Lord. They do the exact right thing that all of us as believers should do. And then they said to Moses, now notice, here's the attack on poor Moses. Because there are no graves in Egypt, have you taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? And I feel sorry for Moses because Moses just wanted to love the people. God called him. Moses, I want you to go take over, you know, this church, and I want you to take him out in the wilderness, you know, and have, you know, wilderness chapel, and you're going to be their pastor, and I'm going to do all these miracles. And he does. God shows that he's behind Moses. All these miracles are done, and all of a sudden they get out, and their very first test that the church comes to, they turn on him. Now think about this. Poor guy. You know, he's like, look what you've done. What have you done? And Moses would be like any of us would be. He's like, what have I done? You know, I believe in God. I feel like confident that God sent me this way, but it sure doesn't look good right now. And everybody's looking at him, you know, kind of growling their teeth because he's the guy that's got them in the mess. And remember, they're very worldly. This is not a spiritual church. They're new believers. They just came out of Egypt. You know, you get new believers, and when you're a new believer, you still live the way you did. You're saved. And God begins to convict you of sin, but you still pretty much live like you did in the world until God slowly works it out of you, don't you? I mean, it took years for God to get, you know, all of Egypt, and all of Egypt is still not out of me. You know, I mean, you can take the, you know, the child of God out of Egypt, but it's really hard to get Egypt out of the child of God. And it depends on how much Egypt you've been pouring in. If there's a lot of Egypt there, there's some Egypt you like, you know, and then there's some Egypt that has already taken hold, and there's some Egypt that, so God has this whole process of purifying our lives and getting Egypt out. These guys are freshly hatched. I mean, they're newborn baby Christians. They've been living like the world in the world. And all of a sudden, they have their first test. And this is no small test. I mean, this is pretty big. You're trapped in the wilderness, and there's an army coming to kill you. And you've got your wife and your children with you and everybody there. And you have no way to defend yourself. I mean, I understand to some degree them freaking out. But still, I think, man, they just saw these miracles that God did. And you think they would trust him more. But again, fear and doubt takes over when the trial comes. They start blaming and all this, and now we're going to see God deliver them. He said, why have you done this? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? In other words, it was better in the world. How sad that is, you know? We want to serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And again, it shows their great faith here, but, you know, some mercy because they're baby Christians. But at the same time, I just think about, look at the miracles they just saw. Hell. And all the insects, you know, the darkness and the firstborn dying, the miracle that God did. Man, you know, it just shows the weakness of our flesh. So I don't want to be too hard on them. But again, it's just pretty amazing, you know, how quickly these guys doubt the Lord after seeing these great miracles. And I look at Moses, the man of God, verse 13. Moses, again, stands up to encourage them. And you got to pat Moses on the back for this because, you know, he's the one that led him there. He knows that God led him there because he sees the cloud. But still, he's responsible. And look at the courage that God gives him. I love this. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. And there's a meaning in that of just be quiet and trust. Stop it. Just be quiet. Everybody be quiet. Stand still. Stand your ground is really what it means. It means stand your ground. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Stand your ground. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, God will deliver, which he will accomplish for you today. You're going to see that. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And I can remember again when Pharaoh's army came after me as a new Christian and not knowing about the whole picture here that God gave us in Exodus, but now looking back and seeing how that happened and when it happened, I remember being, you know, feeling cornered and feeling trapped, the enemy closing in. But when I chose to follow the cloud and stay close to the Lord, God truly removed all that from my heart. He removed even the desire for the sins I was involved in. It's amazing because, you know, we have these struggles and we have these temptations. God has the ability, guys, to remove even the desire for that sin you're struggling in. So you need to believe God and say, God, I want to follow you with all my heart. Remove even the desire for that sin. I don't want to do it, but I even want the desire to be gone. And God can do that. And so Moses, I love the courage he shows. Look what he says, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. So again, stand quiet and stand still. Trust God. He led you here. You didn't stumble into this. You're following him. I know it looks impossible, but if you're following him, there's nothing impossible. God is leading. He will get you out of this. You hold your peace. God's going to fight for you. So I love the courage and the boldness of Moses here. He reassures them that God's in the middle of all of it and that he'll be the one to fight for them. And notice he tells them to do things that we need to do as believers. So again, if you're a note taker, here's some great things. As a new believer, notice the first thing he says to them, and we all need to hear this, because we all go through this same pattern that's laid out in Exodus as believers. First thing, don't be afraid. You guys ever been afraid when some trial comes in your life? I have. I've had moments of fear so strong I felt paralyzed for a minute. It would be like this anxiety and this fear that comes upon me. Oh no. You know, whatever it might be, just name it. I don't know what it could be, but there it is. It's either going to lose everything or they've got that disease or, you know, this or whatever, just this fear moment. And then you begin to get, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. I trust in you. You've led me here. I know you've got an answer for this. And then you begin to get your eyes back on the Lord and that peace begins to come again. But that fear can be paralyzing. And sometimes it'll be so dark. It can be so dark one night and you think it's all over. It's just all over. And the next morning you wake up and you're singing a song. You ever been there? That darkness that you're feeling, that anxiety, that fear that comes, it's the enemy. And so what God is saying is, don't be afraid. Now, here's what we've got to learn as we grow and mature in the Lord, guys. We've got to learn to just obey His word regardless of our feelings. Because when God tells me, don't be afraid when I'm afraid, if I'm still in my feelings, that doesn't help very much. If I'm on the edge of the cliff about to jump so many feet down into that water, because everybody else has done it, and I'm not one of those guys, I don't like that stuff. And they're saying, come on, man, don't be afraid. I don't feel a sudden rush of comfort. I don't go, man, that's all you needed to say to me. Now that you said, don't be afraid, I'm ready. Let's go, you know. Now I'm still standing there going, just stay back, man. Touch me. I will kill you, you know. And you're looking over the edge, you know, this kind of thing. Because that's not my personality. So what do we have to do? We know the human nature. When we're afraid and we hear, don't be afraid, we don't naturally calm down, do we? So here's what we have to do, guys. Here's the main lesson for tonight. As we walk in the Lord, when fear comes upon us, we have to make a choice. Okay, God said in His word, and by the way, God says, I think it's some 360 times I've been told, I don't quote me on this because I hadn't looked it up, but I think I read it one time, 360 times in the Bible, 365 maybe, 365 times in the Bible, do not be afraid. And the quip was, you know, God did it that way so that it'd be one for every day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be, because every day, what are we oftentimes? Afraid. So God knows we're fearful creatures. He knows that we do that. So God has to keep telling us, don't be afraid. Okay, now that we know God tells us that, now that we know it's not the natural reaction to calm down when we hear it, what do we do to fight that? There's two things. Number one, we simply make a choice at that moment. Okay, my feelings and emotions feel afraid, but I'm just going to believe you to not be afraid. I'm going to choose right now, beyond my feelings, I'm going to choose to put my trust in you. Now, that didn't make my scared feelings just go away, but I'm making a choice. Lord, I'm scared to death, but I believe you. I believe you. And right now, I'm praying out loud, Lord, I choose to trust you. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it. Everybody's mad at me. You know, I think about Moses. Everybody's turning on me. Everything looks terrible. Looks like I've made a huge mistake. I choose to trust you. My eyes are on you. That's number one. Everybody got that one? What do we do, number two? Since we know it's a spiritual battle, fight with spiritual weapons. What did Jesus do in the wilderness when Satan attacked him? It is written. You pull out your sword, wow, right? And you say, okay, Lord, I believe in you. And you know what? Your word says in Timothy, it says, it is written. And I quote it out loud. It is written, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. Actually, I think he says of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you keep quoting that until it goes away. I choose not to be afraid. It is written, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if that doesn't work, it is written, perfect love casts out all fear. And I know, God, that you love me with a perfect love. So it is written, perfect love casts out all fear. And you stay in that prayer mode, fighting with the word of God and believing the word of God until you get relief, because God will send it. I've been there. He sends it. He just does it. I'll tell you what I've been struggling with recently, and really over things I shouldn't be there, you know, worry. Where's that come? Worry. It's like, where's this coming from? Worry. It's the same kind of thing. Worry comes out of you. Worry. I'm worried about that. Why am I worried about that? And I have to make a choice. Okay, here's what I feel like worrying. I do. I feel that's what I naturally feel. I want. I just feel like worrying right now because I've got some concerns. So I feel like worrying. But you know what? Jesus said, and I just did that the other day, going through Matthew, because we're doing that now on Sunday night. And in Matthew, there in chapter 6, he says, don't worry. You can't change anything. And you think, but my feelings are worry. So what do I do? I have to choose not to worry. And then I quote scripture pertaining to the promises of God and his faithfulness. And I do that until I get the victory. Because worry, you know, typically we worry, you know, we're worried about things that haven't happened yet. Have you noticed that? And most of the time, really, most of the time, they never happen, do they? Now, I know some bad things happen. They're like, we know that. But most of the time, it never happens. And we go, man, I was so worried about that. And how much time and energy did we spend worrying about it? And the Lord said, just don't worry. Again, it's like, don't be afraid. That doesn't help me just to hear, don't worry. I have to choose to believe it and obey it, make a choice beyond my feelings, and then I have to quote scripture. And if I do that, I'm good. So don't be afraid. That's the first thing. God knows we're fearful creatures. He keeps telling us. And he wants us, again, to learn to trust him. And if we can learn to trust the Lord, this is a real reliever for me. This helps me. It may not help you. But what I do is I go to the extreme in my mind. You guys have probably heard me say this. If you go to the extreme in your mind of the worst it can get, and you kind of are already there, then, you know, you kind of relax a little bit. Okay, what's the worst that could happen? Okay, I could die. All right, I'm going to hit a rock or drown. Okay, all right, I could die. I could die. If I do this, I could die. Don't touch me. I will hit you. I realize I could die if I do this. I realize I could die. But if I die, I know I'm going to be with the Lord. And in reality, I just would walk away and not do it. But for the example's sake, I'll follow through. And so I jump. The bottom line is, guys, the worst thing that can happen is you lose everything. All your money, all your savings, your house. Did God promise that if you would seek first the kingdom, he would meet all of your needs? So are we afraid we're going to lose our lifestyle? Are we afraid we're going to lose what we like? Or are we really afraid we won't have food and clothing and a place to sleep? So it depends on where we are in our heart. But he guarantees it. Again, Matthew 6, such a huge chapter for the child of God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, it comes with a stipulation. Can anybody just claim that? The answer is no. Even a believer can't just claim it and say, well, God said he'll take care of all my needs. I know that God will because he loves us, but I think that God will make people who really don't seek him first. You're going to suffer more, and you may sometimes not get everything right away because there's some discipline going on. But if we do what he said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, what does he promise? All of those things will be added. Now, what it means is if God allows you to go hungry or without clothing or a place to live, you're the first person in world history that has broken the word of God. Do you think God's going to let that happen? I mean, really? God's name is on the line. God can't, he doesn't want somebody, you know, he doesn't want a group of people walking around the church going, well, God didn't follow through. God said he would do it, but we lost everything and now we're all living on the street. God doesn't work that way. There may be a night of displacement. A house burns down and you're in the middle of nowhere, or a storm comes through. But God's going to give you a place to live. God's going to give you food to eat. God's going to give you drink. God's going to give you life. You're going to be able to sustain yourself. So the worst thing that can happen in your mind is God is still going to take care of you. And if the worst thing beyond that is death, you're in the kingdom of God. So if you can get there in your mind, you can kind of relax a little bit and say, all right, you know, so what? You know, it's all stuff. I'm going to do the best I can. I love that whole saying, you know, Pastor Chuck says all the time, do your best, commit the rest. It's all you can do. Do your best, commit the rest. So there's the first thing. Not be afraid. Trust the Lord. What does he tell him next? Notice he says, stand still. That's hard to do when things are bad, isn't it? I'm the type of personality where if somebody says, stand still, you know, I want to make something happen. Now, let me give this balance. And this will be all we'll get through tonight is this verse. That's fine. But notice this. Here's the balance. God says, stand still. What I mean by that is that doesn't mean that we don't do what needs to be done on our part. Are you with me? Okay, you don't have a job. There's no food on the table. What should you do? Go look for a job. Get a job. I've seen people that come in, you know, and they, you know, well, I can't find a job. You know, how long have you been? I've been looking this long. And I know it's hard out there. I understand. Typically, really what people are saying is, I can't find a job that I want to pay the money that I want. So I'm going to hold out until I do. My encouragement in that is that's fine if you have the resources to do that. But you know what? If you start getting low on resources, just do anything until you get the job you really want. Just do something. Even if it's a McDonald's, you know, and whatever. I mean, if you don't want to wear the silly hat, you know, whatever. Do something. So God requires us to do our part in order for him to be faithful to give us all things we need, right? But then if we've done everything we can do, we say, God, I'm doing everything I can. I've got a job now. It doesn't make what I need to make. I'm still looking for something to make higher. I'm in this place. These bills are due. There's nothing else I can do. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. God, I trust in you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust God. Take care of me. God promises, guys, he'll do it. And here he encourages them, stand still. Watch God deliver, but do everything you can do, and then just do your best. Commit the rest. And then lastly, notice he says, you'll see these Egyptians no more. Why? Because they're about to be wiped out. There's, again, another great spiritual principle here we'll end with tonight. And we've already noted once that, you know, when we decide to leave Egypt, we can be sure that Satan and his armies are going to pursue us. But note this, if we will stand our ground when the battle begins and trust the Lord to give the fight, the Bible says the demonic realm will flee. God will defeat them. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee. How do you resist him? Again, the same way Jesus did in the wilderness. I'm going to keep going back to that. It is written. And in whatever area the battle's coming, you find scripture that pertain to that, and you begin to quote it. Quote it out loud. It is written. You know, whatever the case might be. You know, you're doing your best. You're working all that you can. You got two jobs going. The bills are due tomorrow. And you know you're going to be evicted or whatever thing's going to be. You know what? And you've been seeking the Lord. You've been seeking him with all your heart. Lord, you said, it is written, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to. Guys, we have story after story of how God just did things for us. Just amazing things. You have those stories too, that God just did amazing things out of the blue. You know, just the phone suddenly rings. Or there's the envelope at the front door. Or the envelope in the mailbox, or some event that happens, or some refund that you didn't know about. Oh, they forgot to tell you. You know, they took too much taxes out. That's probably going to happen. But the point is, God's going to do something. Do you guys really believe that? Do you really believe in your God? I guess I'll leave us with this challenge tonight, guys, and we'll take up in kind of a run and go in 13 and 14, and we've already covered them. We'll get a run and go in them next week. But here's the thing I would challenge us with: how big is your God? Is he big enough to handle your situation? We're going to see next week that the God here that they are following is a God that is big enough to split the ocean, let them walk across on dry ground, and then drown their enemies behind them in the ocean. And for us, we look at that. I was kind of living the scene out today, and we'll live it out a little bit more next week. But I was kind of living the scene out in my mind today, thinking what an unbelievably powerful thing. I mean, there's the cloud, you know, and all of a sudden they're trapped, and God says, Moses says, stand still. Watch what God's going to do. You've done your best. Because you followed me, you followed the cloud. I know it looks hopeless, but you've done your best. You commit the rest. You trust that I'm going to move. And all of a sudden, the cloud moves back and drops down between them and the Egyptians. And I think about that wall of cloud blocking them where they couldn't even see the enemy, and the enemy couldn't get through it. However, God did that. And all of a sudden, this wind begins to blow. And the wording in the language, I'll give you a little bit of hint next week, is that when the water began to split, it was rather quickly and dramatic. And all of a sudden, there's this, and you go, whoa. And the wind blowing back in your face, and you look back and you're safe, or you can't continue. Then you see this begin to happen, and you're like, and there's Moses with that rod in the air, and you're going, wow. And I kind of just had one of those wow moments, thinking about what that would be like. And then when the night comes, the fire, as it would show fire in the night and light up the water, and God says, now begin to cross. And at night you're walking, and there you are, and you see the wall of water and the sound of the on both sides. We'll get to how big it probably would have been. And you're walking down through it, and there's all the light, the fire just coming out of the sky from God, and this thing, and you're just going, you know, God, you're so awesome. And we're going to see that God is really gentle, too, with the new believers, because if that water just split and God said, now go, that'd be scary to do, wouldn't it? What if it all just falls back? God lets them watch it up like that all night long. The Bible says it was back all night as God blew an east wind on it. You know what he was doing? He was making the path dry and smooth. Because whenever we follow our God, even in places that seem amazing or scary, he'll make a smooth path. And it's going to be something, you know, we're not going to get all grossed up and muddy from. God is going to do it. So after watching all that, by the time you saw that happening on that, you'd be like, it's time to go. Let's do it.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.